I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Another big issue that has come up, and one that a lot of people are very surprised by my position on. I have historically said and always believed that in order to have an efficient criminal justice system, each and every one of the individual players within that system have to be adequately funded. And we should stop this voodoo economic model that goes on. And as we still grapple with how we're going to do this, and I'm specifically talking about the Louisiana public defender system. I know there are those that believe, well, if you're tough on crime, you shouldn't be advocating for this. But the realities are, is that if we're going to be true to our system, innocent till proven guilty, and if we're going to allow folks to be able to defend themselves, and poverty should not be a disqualifier, we need to get serious about adequately funding the Louisiana public defender system. It's the only way that we'll break through the clog in this system in order to make sure that cases move forward. And let the chips fall where they may. If we make our case, then there's a guilty verdict. If we don't, then there's a not guilty verdict. And that's the way it works, and that's the way it should work, and we should get serious about funding it. So there's been a bill that was introduced in the state legislature to change what we are presently doing. And here to talk about that, Chanel Long, the chief defender for Plaquemines Parish Public Defender's Office, joins us. Ms. Long, welcome.
Thank you, and good morning, sir.
So, there's been a bill introduced by Representative Tanner McGee from HOMA that wants to change the system. But before we talk about the bill, let's talk about how the system actually works right now, if you could describe that for our listening audience.
So the way the system works now is that we have a state public defender that is operated by, that is appointed and answers to a board of directors. And he, in turn, appoints district defenders in every district, judicial district throughout the state. And those district defenders are independent agents. And we will create a public defender office in each judicial district. And we are funded by, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
We're funded basically through some state dollars, and we're also funded through, and as the only place in the country, the only state in the country, where we're funded in sort of a user pay system, where we're funded by fines and fees that are generated from convictions.
And that could be a mishmash of stuff. I know historically in Jefferson Parish, and I think it's still this way, traffic fines help finance the public defender's office. And so each individual district kind of decides this mishmash of revenue sources that they're going to try and tap into, many of which you have no control over, don't know what the future is going to be, and sometimes relies on levels of enforcement by law enforcement to be determinative of how much money it actually creates, right?
Yes, sir. So if law enforcement doesn't write a lot of tickets, then they're in a particular jurisdiction, then there wouldn't be a lot of revenue that's generated in a given jurisdiction.
So, and there's a board that over that kind of manages all of this as well, or provides oversight?
They provide oversight. However, the way the law is written right now, those funds that are generated locally in local jurisdictions stay local. And okay. what this new bill would change that.
So the present oversight board, what is it exactly that they do?
So what the board does is they work to create policies. They also it's generally policies and some of the, you know, nitty-gritty enforcement of an execution of, you know, matters that relate to public defense is generally what they do as to how the state dollars would be divided amongst the public defender agencies and also some of the nonprofit organizations that the board contracts with.
So how do they reach that? Is there some kind of formula or a matrix that they decide, or is it, you know, what data do they look at to decide how these funds are going to be distributed amongst the districts?
So currently, the current law requires that of the money, and this is only the money that is dedicated to us through the state, out of the state budget, 70% of that money has to go to district funding, and then the other 30% can be used for the other funding for maybe nonprofits and to run the state office with the state public defender and his staff.
So what services do nonprofits provide for the public defender?
So they provide a lot of services. They do all of our appellate work, all of the capital defense at the trial level and the appellate level, and they also handle some specialized juvenile defense work.
So it's all stuff that's defense related. It's not like other social service programs. It has to do with the defense of criminal defendants.
Exactly. And the services that they provide are actually they're very specialized and they're very expensive. And so it confers a benefit to the local offices because it would be too expensive for us, particularly here in Plaquemines, it would be too expensive for us to take on those types of cases.
So, Ms. Long, when we talk about funding, my experience has been, and when I was sheriff, I talked about this quite a bit, because I was really frustrated with the inability to move cases through the system. You know, I come at it from a different perspective, obviously, than you do.
Understood.
I felt strongly about the cases that we had. I thought that we made good cases. But we couldn't get them through the system because it was just so difficult with the shortage of public defenders. And there was continuance after continuance after continuance, and not always the public defender's fault, but just within the system. And it was frustrating. And this notion of a speedy trial, to me, historically, has been an incredibly bastardized notion in the law in Louisiana because it's anything but speedy for the most part. And I always felt that if we were going to be serious about this, we had to adequately fund it. So I ask you this question. Is there a district in this state today that's adequately funded?
No, sir.
And, I mean, where are we? Are we at 50% of what we need or 60%? Do we know? Has there been a study?
So there's currently a study that's in the legislature right now. It's a Louisiana Optimal Public Defender study that's being done. That's not set to be completed until next year. But I can tell you that the district attorney's office in Plaquemines Parish has a budget that is many times more greater than mine.
But that would always be the case, would it not? I mean, the state can't has the burden of proof. They got to make their case. Literally, the criminal defendant is not required to do anything. So, I mean, no matter what matrix we get to, it's not going to be dollar for dollar equal funding. Is that what y'all are looking for?
No, I wouldn't say that it should be dollar for dollar, but what I would say is that we handle about 85% of the cases, and so our budget should be somewhere around 85% parity if you're looking at it from that perspective in terms of how you would fund us.
Yeah. No, I mean, that makes perfect sense. All right, we're going to take a break right here, and then we'll come back and we'll discuss what the bill actually does and your objections to SAME now that we've kind of laid the landscape as to what type of system we have at the present time. So stay with us. We'll be right back. Give us a call on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. Stay with us. if you want an efficient criminal justice system, then you would support adequately funding all of the players within it, especially once an arrest is made. Arrests are where the cases start. They're presented to the district attorney, goes through screening. They decide whether or not they're going to accept the case and charge the individual. And if that individual is of necessitous circumstances, there is a public defender appointed. And it's the only way the system can work. And without a healthy group of public defenders, you have a criminal justice system that just stalls. It gets stuck on stuck. And this really begs the question or the debate on how you go about funding. And we're visiting with Chanel Long, Chief Defender, Plaquemines Parish Public Defender's Office. So, Ms. Long, let's talk about Representative Tanner McGee, who used to be a public defender, and he's trying to bring about a change structurally. And so what is the opposition of public defenders towards this new bill?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but my opposition to the bill is that the bill itself does not address the number one issue, which is the lack of funding. Mm-hmm. It redirects funding, local fundings that we spoke about earlier. It redirects that to the state, and it empowers the state public defender by abolishing the board. It creates a public defender czar who can distribute those funds however he chooses. And when you're in a situation where you don't have enough funds, such as the public defender system, you're not going to be able to change that by moving around funds from areas that, as I told you before, there's no public defender office in this state that is fully funded. So from moving around money from one office to another, essentially is what you could have happen, or the loss of those local monies and that control and independence and autonomy that your local public defenders have.
But I thought what was going to go back to the state was actually the money that was given by the state as decided upon by the chief public defender, which happens to be Remy Starnes, who I know to be, you know, a very competent and ethical individual. And I thought in your comments earlier, you said that the chief public defender is the one is responsible for figuring out how that money is distributed to the districts.
Exactly. So there's two sort of things. So the chief public defender in a district would get the local funds that are generated. This
right.
bill would send that money to the state. And it's not just about Remy Starnes, who, you're right, is competent, ethical, and a wonderful person. But, you know, the problem is that you could have different pressures that could rely on a different person. And so it's bigger than one person. And that's the issues that we're concerned with. It's not so much what Remy would
but how,
do, but,
how do
you know,
we
the
go
next
about,
person in the future.
So how would we go about achieving consistency, though? Because right now what we have is a very fragmented approach, depending on what each individual district's chief public defender decides as what the priorities are going to be relative to that district. If we don't have some authority on top of those, making sure that we're actually living up to the mission, delivering the services that need to be delivered in an appropriate fashion. I mean, you know as well as I that we've had horror stories within public defender offices across the state, some of which was fairly low-hanging fruit. And the only way that you sometimes achieve confidence is to kind of pare down, set up a governance model where it makes it a lot easier to be able to receive funds, because where it stands right now, we actually have districts in competition with districts.
So I would say that the issue is that we do actually have that governance in place already. And so we're required to, we have a certain set of standards that we have to live by, and we uphold those. And when it comes to funding and making sure and how everything is done, we're doing that. We have to give a budget. We have to give account to all of that. And so what this would do is it would just take away the control of the funding from the local level, and it would just allow the state to dictate where it goes and the amount of time that it would take. So, for instance, that money has to be given to our offices by the 10th of every month. This right. bill would require that money to go to the state by the 10th of every month, and then the state would have an additional 10 days. Well, when you have a tight budget and you need those funds, then that creates all kinds of organizational instability. And this is going back to your issue where you were talking about the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, but that's easily resolved. That's a cash flow problem. I mean, they could obviously leave you with enough working capital to make sure that you make it through the year on a cash flow basis. As an accounting major, I could work through that problem in 10 minutes. I could resolve that issue. That's just simply a numbers game. The question really is, though, as to how you go about being able to find the resources necessary. And I'm not advocating over the new program as opposed to the old. I don't know. What I do know is that there's not enough money spent here. And safety and security on the streets are impacted. And when we have a DA, like we have in Orleans Parish, who decides to utilize his discretion in ways I've never seen utilized before, there are huge differences in how, I would suspect that in Orleans, they may be facing a funding, request that's not going to be fulfilled because they're not going to be prosecuting nearly as many crimes as they had before because they're not going to be prosecuting these crimes. So it just seems that is there a singular individual that has enough oomph in this system to really direct it, move it forward, advocate on its behalf, and procure the necessary funding?
I would say no. I would say that what we need is this bill doesn't address the issue in that the system is broken. The funding mechanism by being a user pay system, and we're the only state in the country that does this, and we're the only state in the country that does this for a reason. No other state is going to move to this model because it is not a good model of funding. And so what we need is that we need a bill that is going to address a dedicated funding source to public defense that is actually going to get us to parity with the district attorney's offices. Because it's like I said before, Orleans, Jefferson, and Plaquemines are all underfunded. And so if you rob Peter to pay Paul, to pay for one of these districts, then you're just going to have additional, no one is going to be funded optimally like we need to be.
Well, I would suspect we're doing that now, but the fact of the matter is, though, Tanner McGee proposes that there will be a portion of the medical marijuana tax that would be dedicated to the public defender program. I'm not pro or con on that issue because I think here we are again trying to create, interesting financing mechanisms in order to deliver a baseline service that I think we need to be more serious about. But be that as it may, that's kind of how it works at the state level. And, it would seem to me that that there should be folks that are at least more receptive in listening to potential changes, because I don't know that the present system, and it just doesn't sound like you have much confidence that the present system is going to bring you to the promised land.
Correct. But I believe that the way that we would deal with getting to the promised land is that we have to address the number one issue, which is funding. We can do as many overhauls as we would like.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, we're not going to have the funding. And it's not that that Tanner doesn't maybe have some really good ideas. Representative Tanner doesn't have some good ideas and some good points in his legislation. It's not that. It's that we have to address that issue. And as it relates to the marijuana bill, it's supposed to bring in $12.5 million. I believe Tanner would like to dedicate a little less than, about one third of that money to us. So that's about $3 million that we would be looking to receive. That's not going to get us to the promised land.
What is the total budget for the public defender system in the state today?
We are at about $60 million, I do believe.
Say again.
I believe it's at about $60 million for 60. All 41 districts.
And it needs to get where?
I don't really want to put a firm number on that.
Well, if y'all don't have a firm number,
it's going to depend different. So it would depend on different things, right? How many capital cases that we have and certain other things with different districts. And so that question would probably be better directed towards the state public defender, Mr. Starnes.
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, it just seems to me somebody's got to have a number. So, but Tanner McGee actually agrees with y'all. He says the only independence you get in this world is through money. Independence comes with a dedicated funding stream. So he's on your side on that issue, it seems to me, at least. He understands that the only way that y'all are ever going to be able to operate efficiently and effectively is going to be through a dedicated funding stream, one that it does not have, and I don't even know what word to use. All of this creative financing, I guess, is the best way to approach it, that is so disproportionate in these districts and the manner in which we go about doing it. It just doesn't make any sense. But it would be interesting to see where this ultimately ends up. So I think it was before committee yesterday. What happened there?
It's out of the Administration and Criminal Justice Committee. It's set to be debated on the House floor this afternoon.
This afternoon? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All righty. Well, Ms. Long, thank you so much for joining us. We will touch base with you again and would love to have you back on to talk about this as this bill works its way through the state legislature. And we appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.